Javier, good morning. And you have been writing about the coronavirus pandemic as well over the past couple of days, and the fact that the market has been able to rise, has sort of more recently shaken off some of these numbers that Anjali has been bringing us every day. And you explore the idea that maybe we are getting maybe to endemic status in the eyes of the market. Certainly, we have seen a change in the public policy and public health approach to the virus as well.
Absolutely. And thanks for having me on. I think that one of the things that has been a hallmark, really, of this pandemic era market is stocks have really, in a lot of ways, been a sort of forecaster of the future. So when we hit the bear market lows of 2020, all of a sudden we started rallying, and the markets were telling us, hey, calm down. Things aren't as bleak as they seem. There are a lot of things happening beneath the surface that often get either downplayed or completely ignored. In this instance, the concept of endemicity, the fact that we are moving from a more reactionary phase of the pandemic to one where it becomes much more part of our lives, it requires a lot more people to have been infected. I thankfully have not, along with a bunch of other people, but basically, what I believe the market is saying is, A, we're moving toward a phase where we're not going to lock down. And I think that that has, I've insisted in several instances of the morning brief, or several editions rather, that that was the market's biggest fear, that we were going to go back to 2020 style lockdowns, dining in closed, retail closed, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't seem to be happening, not even in New York, where once again we've become a global epicenter. But I do believe that investors are keeping the long view. And the long view is there are vaccines, even aside from the vaccines, there are treatments that are in the offing that will help mitigate the worst effects of the pandemic. And more people are moving toward the idea that there's only so much that they can do. People that are at risk will obviously do the right thing and protect themselves, but people that are in a less of a risk category are kind of weighing, it's a risk mitigation strategy, if you will. It's really about living your life according to what feels right for you as an individual, how that may or may not impact other people in your household. But I think the market likes what it sees in terms of A, no lockdowns, B, treatments that are coming or that are already here, and C, that we're getting to a point where there's a gradual grudging acceptance that regardless of whether it's Omicron or Delta, this virus is here to stay, and we can slow down some of the most blunt effects of the virus itself.
Javier, you've covered markets for some time, and someone who has covered markets for a long period of time, are you surprised to see the market rally in the fashion that it is, just given everything we have seen with the variant? I hear your points. I get it. I just had a story hit the site now looking at about 15 or 16 stocks hovering around 52-week highs. I mean, the Hershey, McDonald's, Yum! Brands, these are big cap stocks getting more richer in valuation. I mean, to me, I'm pretty surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on the sector. I believe that investors, in a lot of ways, we've moved from the whole stay-at-home trade, which tended to benefit a lot of the tech names, some of the names that you just cited, McDonald's, Hershey's, all associated with consumer spending, all associated more or less with food. These names have done quite well. McDonald's and the fast food segment in particular has moved very, very aggressively to adapt to the pandemic era. Gotten more digital. They've closed in a lot of instances in some of the bigger cities, their dining rooms, but they've still been able to keep foot traffic. They get people in and out. They lure them in with deals and so forth. All of these loyalty programs, which our Brooke DePalma has covered ad infinitum, and it really speaks to how the market adjusts. And so while I am sort of on the face of it surprised at how quickly we've rallied and how strongly we've rallied, based on some of the names that you've cited, these are people that have adapted to the pandemic era realities, and they've done quite well for themselves in a large measure because consumers have decided, okay, this is not the way that we used to do it, but I can live with how we're doing it now.
I think that's an interesting point, Javier, because I think based on especially the health experts that I'm talking to, right, the idea that this is endemic or anywhere close is not really what they're talking about, because you are still seeing restrictions in place, right, especially in the larger cities like you're talking about. So I don't know that that really points to endemic. When you think of endemic, you think of the way that we're talking about the flu, right? Nothing shuts down, nothing gets restricted per se. And so the idea that the market isn't paying attention to that is really interesting to me, because what health experts are really looking at is the level of transmission. We're now in a surge, and that surge is telling us that the more of cases you have transmitting, the more you're going to see really the potential for more variants to emerge. This may be a less of a, you know, concerning variant. It may have less severe disease, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the next one that comes around is going to follow the same pattern. It's not like this is, you know, on the tail end. I don't think. I don't know. That's just my take. Do you guys like feel like we're too early on this endemic talk?
Well, you know, that's a great point. And I think that you raised the question of the flu. Like one of the things that I think that the market in terms of its prices is telling us is that that's where we're headed. We're not there yet, but that seems to be where we're headed. The fact that Omicron is a less fatal version of it, it may bode well for the future, or there may come another another variant may come along that could be deadlier. But I think that some of what we see happening in South Africa and other emerging markets is key to that. To the extent that the pandemic can get under control in some of these areas where variants have emerged, I think that that is a positive sign. And I think that some of the data that we got out of Johnson & Johnson this morning is particularly bullish, because it suggests that there are things out there that, as I said before, can mitigate it. So we're not at the stage where we can sort of be dismissive about the emergence of new variants or endemicity in the very academic sense of what endemicity means. But what I, in fact, do believe that the markets are trying to tell us is we're getting there, and there'll be short-term volatility and trust. If we do get another variant that appears on the scene that appears to be deadlier, then you're going to definitely see stocks sell off in reaction to that. But I think that, again, it's more of a longer-term view, and the markets are telegraphing to us some things that we may not absolutely be recognizing in this particular moment of tremendous uncertainty, tremendous fear, and very, very large case numbers, which can't be sort of discounted.
Well, guys, I would say two things on this point. First of all, it's not just the markets, right? So two things. One, on the question of whether this is indeed becoming endemic in the medical scientific definition, we did talk to Dr. Monica Gandhi last week of UCSF, who pointed to perhaps a move towards endemicity in certain regions, which I thought was quite interesting. She talked about, she cited California, for example, as a place where perhaps we are reaching more endemic status because of how many people, I guess, have either gotten vaccinated and or have actually gotten the disease. So there's that. But I think there is also this idea, what to me has really changed this week. There's been a turning point this week. And that has been in the public health approach to this, this sort of acceptance of living with the virus. And that's been a messaging change that's been pretty dramatic coming to us from the top, from the White House, when the CDC has made this change about quarantining. That to me seems to be part of the message here, in that, you know, this acknowledgement that a lot of people are still going to get this thing, and we need to figure out a framework to operate the economy, to operate our society at the same time that this virus is still rampaging through it. So to me, today, I sort of took a step back and said, well, this week, things have changed a little bit. It feels like, in terms of the rhetoric, and also part of the rhetoric that we're hearing from doctors like Dr. Gandhi and other folks that we've been hearing from in the public sphere this week.
Yeah, you know,
I was going to say, I hear that. Also, the idea that, the CDC's rules didn't face any backlash or anything, right? It's not like that didn't happen. We saw that there were a lot of people who are concerned with the message that that's sending while we are trying to live with it. I agree with that point. The idea that most people, or there are some people who are not going to follow the rules and who are going to then make this worse, that still exists, because we're not even masking the right way. We're not even like dealing with this in the way that needs to be. We do have the tools at our disposal, but we're not utilizing them necessarily outside of vaccines per se. And those treatments aren't even on the market yet. So it's really, I feel like there's a lot that's, I feel like it's a little bit more complicated than that. And maybe if we do talk about it being endemic, it's definitely more, maybe a year from now, more than anything.
Well, don't get complacent. I think that's what I'm just saying. Javier, we got to leave it here. We're going to continue this discussion another time. I'm quite sure. Javier, David, Angelica, Milani, thanks so much this morning, guys.